Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the author of The Weed Agency. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Not exactly good, bad, and crazy today. In fact, it's probably closest to bad, bad, crazy, but with a theme that things just aren't really going well right now, and the fact that some don't understand that is extremely troubling. So we're going to be doing a little bit of venting today, Jim especially. But let's dive right into the first story, this one courtesy of the New York Times, but a lot of other folks have noted this as well. Europe is infuriated over the fact that rebel separatists backed by the Russians in Ukraine shot down the Malaysian airliner, nearly 300 people killed, lots of different shady actions in the wake of that, in addition to actually shooting down the airliner, the meddling with the wreckage, the moving of the bodies, just all sorts of bizarre things. Yet, in the end, nobody apparently has any intention of doing anything to punish the Russians for this. So you've got a Dutch civil servant saying, what can we do? We must be realistic. There's not much we can do. Another official said, almost every European state has voluntarily handed over power to Mr. Putin, allowing him to play countries against each other. We should choose for energy independence, for principles, human rights, and rule of law, but that is not what we're doing right now. That's an influential member of the European Parliament. And so a lot of hand-wringing, Jim, but less than a week later, the consensus seems to be, well, it's Putin's continent, and I guess there's not much we can do about it.
Yeah, you know, nothing we can do. I was hearing from Bob Corker, who was on MSNBC earlier today, that apparently the European Parliament isn't even canceling its vacation plans. So they can't even, like, react to this to sometime in September. If this doesn't qualify as an emergency, particularly for hearing those kinds of comments from the Dutch, I mean, like, two-thirds of the passengers on that plane were that. And Russia, you know, if Russia wasn't directly responsible, Russia put the metaphorical gun in the hand of the person who shot down the plane. Putin and his allies are killing your citizens. What are you going to do about it? And, you know, with the additional, apparently they've shot down two Ukrainian planes this morning. Just before we started taping this, there was word that the missiles that shot down those Ukrainian planes came from Russian territory, not Russian separatist-controlled territory on the Ukrainian side of the Ukrainian-Russian border. So now we've got like another pretty much direct action. I mean, this is basically Putin daring the West to do something. And the indication right now is that there's not going to be much of an action from this. The theme of today's podcast and of the Three Martinis is not quite panic. I don't want to unduly alarm anyone, but this is as ominous a set of circumstances as we've seen in quite some time around here, because we've just seen blatant Russian aggression that kills civilians, and the parliaments of Europe, the leaders of Europe, are largely falling down on the job.
On to the other bad martini now, and this is a story that broke yesterday afternoon. The United States leading the way on this one, interestingly enough, to ban flights into Tel Aviv, which, as most folks know, is the major airport in Israel. El Al Airlines has the best security in the world. But right now, with the hostilities between Israel and Gaza, rockets from Gaza fired by Hamas can reach Tel Aviv. We've seen that. One flight had to be diverted. And as a result of that, our Federal Aviation Administration led the charge on banning flights into Tel Aviv, and most European countries and airlines then followed suit. So, Jim, this is perhaps, as you pointed out, the most successful thing that Hamas could have hoped to achieve.
While you can understand in theory, particularly after the shoot down of that plane over Ukraine, everyone in the aviation industry being particularly nervous and full of anxiety and wanting to be extra cautious. Apparently this morning there's another report of a fatal plane crash in Taiwan, although this one appears to be some sort of weather or mechanical issue, not anyone shooting down at this plane. But with this, Greg, if you and I said, hey, let's go to Israel right now, the only way we'd be able to do it is by taking an El Al flight, which is the national airline of Israel. All U.S. flights are canceled for at least 24 hours, and I'm wondering, like, what happens at the end of the day? Does the FAA, oh, we've decided the threat's gone away now, we're going to restore them? Because then Hamas knows, just shoot more at the airport and keep shooting until one gets through. And then the FAA would presumably go back to shutting it down again. The Europeans followed our lead. As soon as we canceled our flights, Lufthansa and the rest did that. And what's more is, my understanding is that cruise ships are now diverting away from Israel. You can't drive to Israel. Unless you want to go through Syria, yeah, not likely. Lebanon, which isn't looking too stable. And the Gaza Strip takes up a big chunk of Egypt. So maybe if you and I wanted to go to Israel, you and I could fly to Amman, Jordan, and then drive in from there. I'm laying all this out to say that we effectively have a travel ban on going to Israel right now. It may not be the stated intent of the policy, but that is the effect of the policy. And that's, as I noted in the morning jolt this morning, we don't have that in place for North Korea, right? I mean, you and I could catch a connecting flight to Tehran, Iran, if we wanted to. Getting a visa would be a little tougher. Right now, because of this one rocket, which, by the way, my understanding, apparently it was hit by the Iron Dome defense system. And it's just that the rocket pieces landed 1 mile near the airport. That's all it took to get the U.S. to shut this down, which basically brings all air traffic other than El Al in Israel to a halt. Talk about isolating the Jewish state in a way that it never had been isolated before. So it just seems like a really big overreaction. I find myself in the really odd situation of saying, attaboy Mike Bloomberg, who said, hey, you know what? This is a ridiculous overreaction. The Israelis know their security. There's not an unreasonable risk there. I'm going to fly in there today. So kudos to Mike Bloomberg. Keep this recording because I don't say it very often. It's very, very hard to not perceive this as sort of a backdoor way of pressuring Israel to take some sort of ceasefire deal proposed by John Kerry that they don't really want to take.
You might even say it's a heck of a pinpoint operation by the U.S. Government.
Well done, Greg. Well
thank,
done.
Thank you. All right, on to the crazy martini, and this sums it all up pretty perfectly. This is from today's Morning Jolt and campaign spot. As Jim has carefully pointed out in writing and on Greta last night, the president is doing one thing well, and that's fundraising, and he's continuing a vigorous fundraising schedule at the time when all these crises are playing out at home and abroad. At yesterday's DNC fundraiser, he repeated something we used as probably the crazy martini at another point, and that's the world has never been healthier, it's never been wealthier, it's never been more tolerant, there's never been more opportunity than there is today. I notice he didn't say it's more peaceful than it's ever been, which he said last time. He also said part of people's concern right now is just the sense that around the world, the old order isn't holding, and we're not quite yet to where we need to be in terms of a new order that's based on a different set of principles, that's based on a sense of common humanity, that's based on economies that work for all people. Jim, he went on to say he doesn't watch the news, and that's pretty apparent by those comments.
We saved perhaps the worst for last. Now, I remember last Thursday, as the word of the what happened in Ukraine was becoming clearer, our president offered those, he did continue to doing the meet and greet with people in the diner or the burger joint in Delaware. He made his very brief statement that there may be some sort of tragedy in the Ukraine. Then he went on with his usual partisan remarks about transportation spending. Then he went on to his fundraisers up in New York City. And my friend Asa Spades was like, he started having a panic attack, saying, I think the president is mentally disconnected from reality to not be treating this with the seriousness it deserves. Now, the president came out the next day and gave a much more appropriately toned statement. But even Mike Lupica, the sports writer up in New York, who's generally very sympathetic to the president and no friend of Republicans, was saying it's time for Obama to man up in dealing with Putin. I think we're seeing what we're going to get from him. He's still in the middle of a 3-day fundraising spree when the situation, as we mentioned, in the Gaza Strip is getting from bad to worse. Russia is, and its allies are still shooting missiles up into the skies over Ukraine. And oh, by the way, maybe Russian air defense has shot down Ukrainian planes over Ukraine. Remember our crisis on the border, Greg? Remember all those kids? Wasn't that a huge deal not too long ago?
Yep.
I mean, this guy really, he's mentally checked out of this presidency. And what's intriguing is that if you don't want to be president during a crisis, if you don't want to deal with these really difficult, thorny, dangerous situations in the world, don't run for friggin' president. This is the job. And he just doesn't want to do it. He just wants to go around doing these fundraisers and say, you know, we're not quite yet where we need to be in terms of global stability. And it's almost a comical understatement. But on the other hand, like, this is the only president we've got. And he just doesn't want to stop doing the fundraisers. And he just doesn't want to deal with any of these things. There's no sense of crisis in this while the world is aflame all around us.
On that encouraging note, folks.
Yeah. Happy Wednesday, everybody. see you in the bunkers. Put on your air defense helmets and stock up on canned goods. I don't want to really panic anyone, but I just feel like there's just this enormous disconnect between the problems we see overseas and either the total lack of response from our government or when our government does respond, as in that FAA rule, we're hitting the wrong side. We're not punching the bad guys. We're punching our allies. So it's, yeah, it's a bad day, everybody. Hopefully Thursday will be better.
Jim, we'll talk to you on Friday, right?
We will, yes. I'll be out tomorrow. It's not that I've disappeared, as far as I know.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Please tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.